Thank you, Josephine and Sylvia. Speaking of battles, what I want to talk about today is enduring hardship as training, allowing the Lord to use all things in our life. Enduring hardship as training, allowing the Lord to use all things in our life. We had very significant prophetic words today. We had a prophetic word about the trial of our faith. The trial of our faith and allowing gold to come forth and allowing Christ to be glorified through that trial. We had a prophetic word about Paul and Silas being imprisoned in shackles. We were talking in the Gateway class this morning. What if we didn't have the music? What if we didn't have the projector with the words? What if we didn't have electricity? Can we still praise God? Paul and Silas didn't have a bass guitar in that prison with them. They didn't have drums in that prison with them. They were shackled. They were praising and worshiping God. And as we know, the chains came loose and they were free to worship Christ. And that's what the Lord wants to do in each one of our lives. Alfred gave us a great challenge today when he shared the Lord's table and how we need that equipping training. He challenged us that, you know, there's things that we need to be prepared for. What if we were persecuted for our faith? What if, like many people in the world, we did have to really stand up for Christ, truly stand up for Christ? We need to be equipped for this. We need training. The song that we sang at the end here, Sovereign Over Us, really, really touched me. That there's strength within the sorrow, beauty in our tears. What are you sorrowful over? What are you crying about? You will meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting. So when you're going through trials and hardships, a big part of that is the fact that it takes a lot of patience. Things aren't resolved right away, often the way we want them to be resolved. Sanctifying us, when beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. What kind of hardships did Paul and Silas have to go through to get to that point that when they're shackled and imprisoned, that fear of their life, that they're going to be praising and worshiping God? All right, they had to somehow be trained to really be able to get to that point. And so I want to talk about enduring hardship as training. Paul said to Timothy about training, 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You need to know that if you live for Christ, you will endure opposition. In this world, if you are truly living for Christ, you will experience opposition. You need to, in fact, expect it. You may even endure persecution. Look at verse 5. What are we going to do when that happens? But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And you do have a ministry. You are in a church that believes what the Bible says. And the Bible says that you are a believer priest. The Bible says that you have a ministry, that you are involved in the work of the ministry, that we are all serving the Lord together. And so we're talking about allowing the Lord to use all things in our life. The Bible says that all things, God can use all things and turn them around for our good, for the one who loves God and is called according to His purpose. In school, we've been studying the great hymns of the faith. And there's this hymn, Rock of Ages, by August Toplady. And maybe I'll have Devroy sometime sing Rock of Ages. Christ is our Rock of Ages. Christ is our cleft in the rock. Christ is our shelter in the storms of life. And we all endure those storms of life. But we need to not simply try to push them off ourselves. All right? We need to allow God to use them in our lives to help us, to train us, so that we can grow and be equipped to do what He's called us to do and to be. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He not only had to endure the cross during the time that the nails were in His hands and His feet. He had to endure all the time that He had to look forward to dying on the cross as well. He endured the cross. He scorned its shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, when we're going through hardship, it's very easy to grow weary. But God wants us He wants to increase our endurance in dealing with hardship. He wants to work that long suffering in us. He wants us to be able to undergo that and be patient with that process, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Struggle against sin. When you study this out, it's more likely it's talking about struggle against sinful persecutors. Struggle in your struggle against sinful persecutors. In the news, of course, we hear about ISIS. And what ISIS is doing. And we need to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are truly being persecuted. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that God will, just the terrible things that they are seeing, that often actually the news really is not bringing the full story out. The terrible things in their families that they're having to endure, the opposition that they are facing, where there is real true persecution. We need to be praying for them. Father, right now we do pray for all those, Lord God, that are having to endure this kind of persecution, Lord. Father, we pray that You would strengthen them, Lord God, that You would help their hearts and minds, Lord God, help their families, Lord God, help fathers and mothers and children, Lord God. Be with them in Jesus' name. Verse 5 says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Discipline is a sign. It's a sign of God's love. It's a sign that you are truly a child of God, that God is treating you as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And so we're to endure hardship as discipline. When hard things come into our lives, we're to endure it as discipline. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we've done something bad. We all need to grow. Do we not? We all need to be equipped and trained. When someone goes into the Marines, they are equipped, they are trained to be able to be a good soldier. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've done something wrong, but they still need that discipline and they still need that training. Look at verse 8. It says, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our Father disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness.
Amen.
Let me be clear. Often we do experience discipline because we need that correction, because we have sinned. We need that, and it's good for us. We need that. It's for our good. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but in the end it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those that have been trained by it. We can look back on our lives and we can see, even as adults, when we've been disciplined, that peaceable fruit of righteousness that has been instilled in our lives through that process. That peaceable fruit of righteousness. Say that. That peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what we want in our lives. We're not helter-skelter and all over the place. There's a solidity. There's a character. There's a peace that God instills in our lives no matter what is going on in our lives. And we see that is a result of God's discipline and of God's grace. It's for our good so that we can share in His holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those that have been trained by it. Again, that harvest of righteousness and peace. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Why does God want to train you? God wants to train you so that you can help others to be healed.
Amen.
God wants to train you so that you can help others to walk.
Amen.
God wants to train you so that you can help others to not limp, not just limp or have to be in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives, spiritually speaking.
Amen.
God wants to train you so that you can help others to be healed. To be healed in Christ. To be strong, not in themselves, but to be strong in Christ. To be able to walk. To be able to run after Christ. God wants that to work in you so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. When you hear the word discipline, we think automatically that my child has to go through this because they're being disciplined because they've done something wrong. But that's not the total picture. It's not always because we've sinned. Recently, I got to see the inspiring movie Glory again. And Glory is a great movie about this all-black regiment in the Civil War. And Colonel Shaw being called upon to take the leadership. And he took it seriously. And there was an issue toward the beginning of this regiment as they began their training as to whether they were going to be able to get into real battle. All right, or they're just going to have to, you know, clean up after others and do menial jobs and so forth. And these guys wanted to get into the battle. They wanted to get into the battle. But there was this question as to whether they would really see true battle action. And so sometimes their training, even from their superiors, was not what it should be. But Colonel Shaw was committed. And Colonel Shaw wanted to make sure that his troops were going to be prepared for battle. And so they were doing their training for shooting. And they were just having fun shooting and so forth. One soldier, Colonel Shaw, came up to them and asked them about his shooting experience. And he says, I've shot rabbits. I've shot rabbits. All right. And he talked to them about that. But then he got close to him. He said, okay, shoot that. And then Colonel Shaw took his gun and he shot it. All right. Up in the air. But while he was trying to shoot and reload his musket, he was shooting that gun and it was going off in his ear and it was going off his ear. And the soldier, you know, he was flustered and he couldn't reload his musket. And Colonel Shaw was helping that soldier to realize what real battle is. And that when all the stuff and the flak and the fog of war and you're being shot at and you've got to reload your musket and get ready to shoot again and all the pressure of that. And he helped him to see what real battle is like. Later on, that soldier was able in battle to reload his musket and be able to shoot and save a comrade's life. We all need training. We need training. There's got to be something in our life that is beyond us.
Right.
We all need something in our life where we need God. Where we need to be equipped. Where every day we got to get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. If you don't have that in your life, you need to pray to God and say, Lord, give me something that is bigger than myself. It's going to have something to do with discipling others and bringing people to Christ. It's going to have something to do with others. Give me something, Lord, that really I need you for. That I need to be equipped for. That I need your grace for. We need that. All soldiers need training. Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you a soldier for Jesus Christ? We all need training. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, starting at verse 1. It says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A good soldier of Christ Jesus learns to endure hardship. Learns to undergo situations that are not just solved like this. Develops long suffering, patience, even unresolved issues. All right. I can tell you that a big job of my job as a pastor is to allow for the process of unresolved issues to play out. Sometimes I just want to solve things. But even if you're dealing with a conflict resolution situation, a ministry of reconciliation situation. All right. Oftentimes in the school, because in the school, it's like 5 days a week. You know, you're dealing with things every day. And I've got to allow for the process of covenant to take place. Because the process is first, the one person goes to meet the other person. All right? Sometimes as a principal or as a pastor, I want to jump in there and just solve it right away. All right? But there have been times where I've had to require and say, you need to go to that person first. You need to go talk with that person. As opposed to me preempting the situation. And yet, I'm aware of these things. All right, I'm praying about these things. And so as we grow, we recognize that there are unresolved things that we have to be patient with the process and trust God that at the proper time that God is going to resolve that situation and not jump the gun, so to speak. All right, it says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. All right, I talk with our boys about playing within the spirit of the rules. All right, not just trying to be a gamer to get away with what they can with the rules and grabbing someone's shirt or, you know, this kind of thing when you're playing a sport, playing a game. All right, playing within the spirit of the rules. We play with all of our heart within the spirit of the rules. We don't try to seek an unfair advantage. All right, according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ. How often do we come back to that? Fix your eyes on Christ, who endured the cross, scorning its shame. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. And we've already seen how God's praise is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. That's others. We endure everything for the sake of others. We endure everything. We see mothers. Mothers endure things. Mothers are great at enduring things.
Amen.
All right? Mothers endure things for the sake of their children. Well, we endure everything for the sake of others, for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Why do we endure everything? We endure everything so that others may be saved for God's glory. We endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I was called to my life calling before my sophomore year of college. It was very clear to me. I was attending a Christian camp. It was in August. And I just had a summer of just complete weakness. I was a picture of weakness, instability, insecurity, no confidence. I had gotten a security guard job, basically because I had to. My dad's a good job, but he wouldn't let me just. My dad's a good dad, but he wouldn't let me just sit there. He kind of put the issues out there. You know, you got to make money. You got to be saving away for college. I would say he was persistently gently patient, but you know, you got to get a job, you know. And I got a security guard job, and I had the midnight shift. The first night I was supposed to work till midnight till noon the next day. That was a Saturday. My relief did not come on time, and as a security guard, you can't just leave your post. And so my relief didn't come in on time, so I worked from midnight, not till 12 noon, but till 4 p.m. So my first day, I worked for 16 hours straight. And then that night, I had to work at midnight again. I was supposed to get off at 8 o'clock in the morning so I could come to church on Sunday morning. Can you believe I missed church? All right, I can identify with some. I'm praying for some of you that have to work on Sundays. I'm praying that out because, you know, so you don't have to work on Sundays. You can honor the Lord in the Lord's Day. But I ended up, my relief didn't come at 8 o'clock, so I had to work till noon. So my first day I worked 16 hours straight. My second day I worked 12 hours straight. I worked the midnight shift. I had different areas where I was serving as a security guard. I had incredible conscience. Because you have to work certain hours and you want to be true to your hours. And I mean, I won't go deep into my conscience, but I had a very sensitive conscience and things getting on my conscience and so forth. Just to give you an idea, one time I was, you know, trying to find where I was, what building I was supposed to be in, and I was running all over the place, went to this building, no, I'm not supposed to be in that building. Finally, I drove to the headquarters. It was all kind of like in a complex, and you know, it was midnight, and you know, I'm late for wherever I'm supposed to be. I run in there to the headquarters. I finally find out where I'm supposed to work, and I run out to the parking lot, and my car's not there. And I turned around, and my car had drifted across the parking lot and was up against the curb. Thank God it was midnight. There were no cars in the parking lot. I had forgot to put the parking brake on. I mean, I was like a mess, you know. And my car had drifted across the parking lot, you know. And it's like, and so I get in my car, and I'm going to, that's just an example of, you know, just, you know, I barely made it through that summer. I barely made it, you know, with my conscience intact, just making sure that, you know, I did everything right and checked all the coffee pots. Because when you're a security guard, you got to check the coffee pots so someone didn't leave the coffee. And to this day, whenever I leave the building here, I check the coffee pot and make sure no one has a, God has a purpose for everything, right? So now, Because of that, I always check the coffee pot, you know. You know, and doing your rounds and so forth. And I barely made it through that summer. You know, I barely made it. And it was the end of August, and it was the night before this Christian camp. And I say, Lord, I got before the Lord and I said, Lord, you see me? I mean, I don't really have anything to offer you. You know, I'm just, you know, but I just, Lord, I just surrender, you know. And that week, the Lord called me to disciple and teach young people and help them to grow in their walk with the Lord. That was like 31 years ago.
Wow.
All right. And has stayed with me to this day. How old are you, Dwayne? Okay, there you go. And that call has never left me. All right, it motivates me to this day to work with young people. But I can tell you that next year, my sophomore year of college, was a tremendous year of hardship. And I was not going through hardship necessarily because I had done something wrong, but I had to be trained. I had to be equipped. I had to, in a sense, get that endurance, because I can remember, because I remember there were times where I knew that Satan was kicking my butt. All right? And I said, Satan, someday I'm going to kick yours. All right? But what was happening through that process was a fuel. See, when you go through a period of hardship, a period of opposition, a period of suffering, it does something inside of you, and it gives you that enduring motivation that you need for the long term. And that's partly why you go through that experiencing a hardship. And I realized that there were times where I was like totally defeated, and Satan had me all mixed up in my mind. I knew it. All right, I was defeated, and every day, you know, I was the kind of person that couldn't just put it on the shelf. I had to face my issues every day. I had to determine to every night I had to go. I remember being at college, I was away. Every night I had to go on walks and just determine out of just basic faith to praise God. And in the deepest doubt, I was fighting for my faith. I was fighting for my faith. In the deepest doubt, I would sing songs like, I will declare that your love stands firm forever. I will declare that your faithfulness is established in the heavens. And you see that? If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I was without faith. I never wanted to go to bed without hope in my heart.
Amen.
All right, and so I would go on these late night walks to just survive spiritually. Remember one time the subject of atheism came up in a lecture, and immediately Satan attacked. And I was at track practice and walking around the track, and I was looking at the Yellow Breeches Creek and the trees above that, and I was looking at the world, and I it looked such a lonely place to me, because I was doubting whether or not there was a God. And the world looked different to me. That night I called a friend, and the friend just reminded me that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And I went back out and I went on a walk, and I just started confessing things like Jesus is Lord, and immediately the faith sprung back in my heart. But there were times where I remember there was one night that I did go to sleep without hope in my heart. Because I acknowledged something to myself. I acknowledged something like that perhaps hell is not physical torment. And I consoled myself in regards to that. But by acknowledging that, I was acknowledging that perhaps I was going to hell. And that when I realized I acknowledged that, I realized what a, you know, that just shook me. And that night I did go to sleep without hope in my heart. But I was fighting for my faith. And I wasn't the kind of person that could just, you know, party it away or just, you know, put it on the shelf. I faced it every day. And I was fighting for faith. Going through hardship, going through that discipline, I needed it because I needed to grow. I needed to be equipped. I needed to be trained. God needed to instill something inside of me. God needed to instill something for the long haul, that when opposition came, I wouldn't just give up. God gave me the Word. He gave me Romans chapter 5. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope.
Amen.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. I remember in the middle of that year, God gave me a number of scriptures. I was searching a word. I needed rhema words.
Amen.
All right? But that was one of them. And I remember when I got that word, I saw how I had endured suffering. And because of that suffering, I saw some perseverance growing in my life. I really wasn't yet to the character part, and I was nowhere near to the hope part. But just by seeing that scripture, and the Lord revealed to me that that process was happening in my life, that because of the suffering that I was enduring and focusing and not just putting on the shelf, that I was going through it, that it was working perseverance, and eventually it would work character, and eventually the hope would come. And just to know that eventually the hope would come gave me hope.
Amen.
Because this hope is firm and secure because of the Holy Spirit. And that hope does not disappoint us, because God has shed abroad His Holy Spirit in our hearts,
Amen.
Whom He has given us by His grace. So I saw this happening in my life. I'm not glorifying suffering, but we need to learn to rejoice in our sufferings. We need to not be thrown by a loop with it. We need to realize that God is doing a good work in us and be grateful for it. As James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials and tribulations of many kinds, because the suffering develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Recently, I suffered a heartbreaking defeat. And there was a sense of mourning in this situation. But I realized that good could come from it. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it is better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. We're not to go around with dour looks on our faces, but we're also not to waste our hardships. Use the hardships that come into your life as a way for God to train you for what He's calling you to be. What is the training that we need? As true soldiers of Jesus Christ, why do we need training? Why do we need training for the work that God has for us? Do you feel that you need training? Do you feel the need? In order to need this training, we got to feel this need. We got to feel that there's a call that is larger than ourselves. Yesterday at the men's advance, Dad shared about the story of Gideon and the Midianites.
Right.
And how Gideon was just totally outnumbered. Do you feel outnumbered? God wants to put you in a place where you feel outnumbered, where you need God. Where you need God. Be assured of this. God has given you a purpose that you need training for. If you don't know what that purpose is, pray about it, wrestle with the Lord until you find out what that purpose is.
Right.
Why do we need training? We need it because we need to develop patience. We need to develop long suffering. Why do we need training? We need training so that when we suffer defeat, we don't revert to bad habits, the habits of our past. Perhaps alcohol, drugs, addiction, pornography, whatever it may be. So that when we suffer a defeat, we don't just revert to our past bad habits. Why do we need training? We need training so that in seasons of hardship, we don't get disillusioned and refer to sinful addictions. We need training so that we can deal with discouragement. We need training so that we can deal with tiredness and weariness and learn to find our rest in Christ. We need training so that every day, no matter what we're facing, when we're perhaps tired even, that we learn to come all the way into the promised land that God has for us. And the promised land that God has for us is entering fully into the rest of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I love the Hebrews passage that says, make every effort to come into the promised land of resting in Christ. Make every effort to come into the promised land of resting in Christ. That no matter what we're going through, our kids, our work, whatever unresolved situations that continue on our life, that we still are able to fully rest in Christ.
Amen.
Rest in Christ. You know how we try to get everything in our life tied up in a neat bow? Get everything taken care of? All right? Soldiers of Jesus Christ. Soldiers of Jesus Christ are able to endure everything not being neatly taken care of. As you grow in Christ, as you are equipped in Christ, and you become more and more of a leader in Christ, you're going to recognize that you're going to have to handle things where it's not all neatly tied together. And God will give you the grace to walk in that. And yes, still resting in Him. To still be at peace in Him. To still have the joy that only He can give through that trial. Why do we need training? So that we can go through disappointment and keep our joy. So that with these unresolved issues that we can have patience with the process and keep our joy and peace in Christ. Why do we need training? So that we can be kind and loving to those who aren't kind and loving. So that we can walk in the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ, who of course is our example of enduring hardship. Again, Romans 5, verse 5. It says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This isn't the philosophy of the power of positive thinking or the power of positive speaking. We have a guarantee. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And through the hardship, through the persecution, through the trial, through the opposition, we have that Holy Spirit with us. And whatever we're facing, He is with us. The Lord is with us. But use that hardship to be trained. I'd like us all to close our eyes in prayer. I'd like us all to look to Christ. Just close our eyes and just fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Allowing the Lord to use all things in our life to train us.
Amen.
How do others see Christ in us? Do they see Christ in us when everything's going well? When everything's honky-dory? The way people see Christ in us, the way people see the difference that Christ makes in our life, is when we're going through hardship. That's when they see how Christ makes a difference in our lives. And that's when people step up and take notice. How could you endure that? How could you endure that disappointment? How could you endure that defeat? How could you endure that disloyalty? How could you endure that hardship? And that's where we lift Christ up. It was only through Christ.
Right.
It's only through the grace of God. Christ is truly part of my life. He's not just part of my life. He is my life. It's only through Jesus Christ that I could endure that. And that's where Christ is lifted up. And the Bible says that if Christ be lifted up, He'll draw all people to Him. Father, I pray that You'd encourage each one here. Lord God, in a sense, it's freeing. We use the word surrender. I'd like you to think of the word resignation. Often the word resign gets a negative connotation to it. Resignation. I'm resigned to this situation. I'm going to resign from my job. I'm just resigned. But I'd like to think of that word as positively. Have a positive connotation to that word. A resignation of spirit, a resigning oneself that to whatever I am going through, not that we don't care, but to whatever I'm going through, I'm resigning myself to the Lord. that I'm going to allow Him to use it to do what He wants to do in my life. In biblical language, it means that we die to ourselves. It always comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, we embrace Your cross today. We die to ourselves. We surrender. We resign ourselves, Lord God. Let us take up our cross daily. Let us see that hardship as Your cross. Let us take up that hardship. Identify what it is right now. Name it in your mind. Name it in your mind right now. I take up this hardship as the cross of Jesus Christ, and I follow You, Lord. Do what You will in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.